where did your initial idea to set this, you know, to be, I guess to begin with, slightly odd setting, when did that idea come to you?
It absolutely, Lily, it did feel odd at the time it first came to me. It was 20 years ago. It was the story of how this book came about is really a story of financial crashes. It was back in the white heat of the tech crash back in the early noughties. You're probably too young to remember it.
You're very kind, but I do remember.
Okay. Well, it was a time, you know, I was working in the financial markets. I had I was a trainee fund manager. I hated my job. I really wasn't suited to it. And it was a tumultuous time. The stock markets were crashing. And of course, then 9/11 happened, which just exacerbated everything. I couldn't stand being in that kind of financial arena. So I got out of the job. I just quit. And at the same time, in what was a kind of a difficult time for me, these plots, these ideas started coming to me, and in particular, this one. And at the time, I didn't have the confidence to write it. I didn't think of myself as a writer, so I didn't take it anywhere. Hmm. So it kind of stayed on a kind of shelf at the back of my mind until the credit crunch came around, the next financial crisis. At that point, the plot really came to me in a complete way. It was a moment of inspiration, actually. I was kind of lying in my hammock one morning, getting a rare break from looking after my newborn daughter. And the entire plot came to me. And at that point, I thought, I've got to write this down. And so then I started work in earnest back in 2015. And it probably took me 3 or 4 years to get it written. And then by early 2019, early last year, I had it finished. It was 8 drafts. It was 4 years of work. And, you know, you go through the sort of publishing wheels very slowly and so on. It was all quite ponderous at that phase. And then suddenly March came around, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, this thing I've been, that's been 20 years in the making is come true.
Yes.
It was strange. It was very strange.
Extraordinary. I mean, I am going to talk to you about the ending of your book, Don. Maybe it will have something that we can all learn. But without giving too much away then, tell us about the story of your book.
Sure. So it's... This is not a plot spoiler, because this is all on the first few pages. The book, How to Buy a Planet, it gets straight to the action. It's set in the near future. It's set, let's call it 2024. The world is recovering from the pandemic. The world is healing from the kind of virus crisis, but the debt crisis has become overwhelming. And in their wisdom, our political leaders have taken what they consider the only logical decision. They decided to sell the planet. And to begin with, everyone's thrilled and excited, and they meet the planet's new owners, who turn out to be this very cute race of aliens. And all is well. And then how the plot unfolds, it turns out that these aliens actually have anything but noble intentions with what they're going to do with their investment. And the plot unfolds from there.
Do you have it to hand, Dom, if I were going to ask you to read?
Absolutely, it's right here in front of me.
Oh, lovely. So tell us where we are in the story, and then if you wouldn't mind reading us a lovely little bit, that would be great.
Oh, yeah, sure, no problem, really. So actually, exactly where I kind of just said, this is the sort of tumultuous or landmark press conference right in the first chapter. And the Prime Minister is addressing, on behalf of the G7, he's addressing the entire planet from the steps of number 10. And it starts from there.
Great.
Do you want to take it away?
Please. I don't have any exciting music, but I'm waiting with bated breath.
Sure thing. Okay. So this is the Prime Minister speaking. I'm here today to tell you about more than just a dream. I'm here to tell you about an opportunity. A chance to eliminate debt and take full advantage of our cherished planet. It's an opportunity of dazzling dimensions, and one that will not wait, which is why we, the leaders of the G7, on behalf of the entire planet, have collectively taken the decision that was needed. The Prime Minister paused pregnantly. He looked up. We have sold planet Earth. Silence. Looking up from his podium, the Prime Minister saw a row of mouths falling open. For the first time in their professional lives, cameramen of the press forgetting to take pictures. Lenses were lowered, and pale faces appeared from behind them. The sound guys forgot their microphones. The journalists stopped scribbling in their notebooks. You what? In the score in an acorn, jaws slackened and faces blanched. A pint glass slipped from someone's hand and smashed on the floor. On every phone call, every face call, every conversation around the world, on every TV channel and every radio station, heck, even on the internet, nothing. Pure, bewildered silence. The broadcast media went so quiet that for the first time in a century, the entire planet was emitting the same uncluttered, unbroken signal into outer space. Silence.
Oh, wonderful, Dom. That was actually fantastic. I mean, can we learn anything from your book, Dom? Does it end happily? Is there any sort of lessons, do you think, that we're now going through this book of yours?
Lily, it's interesting you ask that. I am trying to smuggle some lessons through underneath the humour. That's absolutely true. You sort of caught me there. I would say that the book is first and foremost about entertainment. At 100%, I wrote it to make people smile and laugh and give them some escapism. Mm-hmm. But underneath, it is a satire, and there are some lessons. And what the book is about underneath, Lily, it's about the crisis in capitalism. It's about a world that's allowed capitalism to get out of control, creating the global warming crisis that we've got, creating the debt crisis that we've got. And so, without giving any plot spoilers away, towards the end of the book, there is a moment where, how should we say, the heroes buy back the planet. I guess the clue was in the title. And they don't give it back to the world's leaders straight away. They call their own press conference. And at that press conference, they say, you can have the planet back. We own it at the moment, but you, the world leaders, can have it back if you sign up to these 9 ideas for rescuing capitalism from itself. And so I guess through that mechanism, if you like, I'm smuggling a few ideas through about the world we're in.
Dom, right, we need to get it, and it is racing up the Amazon bestseller list, which is brilliant. It's being, you know, people are saying it's the first post-COVID novel, or I suppose it's sort of pre-COVID in a weird sort of way. Pre and post and present. Just tell us how we can get it, Dom, and just remind us of the title as well.
Thank you, Lily. It's How to Buy a Planet. It's available on Amazon either as a paperback or as an ebook. It's just $1.99 as an ebook and $9.99 as a paperback, and that's how you get it. Yes, and it's riding at number one in three different Amazon bestseller lists.
Oh, amazing. Well, congratulations on that, Dom. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see what you write next. maybe it will come true in a few years' time. Stay in touch, Dom. Lovely to talk to you, and congratulations again.
Thank you, Lily. Lovely to talk to you.
Lovely to talk to you. Dom Holdsworth. Yes, mark that name because he has an eerily good sense of predicting things. And How to Buy a Planet is out now. This is Jubelle Anini and Dancing in the Moonlight on BBC Radio Oxford.